The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
The following podcast is sponsored by AppFolio Investment Management.
In a recent study, AppFolio Investment Management customers reported up to 70% growth in their total EUM over a one-year period. How? They were able to cut fundraising time down by 50%, automate waterfall distributions, and impress investors with a professional self-service investor portal. AppFolio Investment Management is your partner in commercial real estate. Learn why thousands of real estate investment managers are choosing AppFolio Investment Management at appfolioinvestmentmanagement.com.
Welcome to the program. Our guest is Neil Sinnott. He's head of client services for the Asia Pacific region at IQEQ. Based in Singapore, he joins us via the internet now. And we're going to talk a little bit about his thoughts on rethinking the workplace and what real estate investors need to do to reinvent the office space in a way that accommodates the evolving workforce. So with that, Neil Sinnott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
And so am I. This is such a hot topic these days. Everybody's talking about the office and people talking about whether they're going to continue to be working remotely or not, or some type of hybrid situation. If you were to kind of characterize the situation in Asia and the Asia Pacific region, what would you say is that situation, and how does that how is it synonymous, or how does it differ with, say, Europe or North America?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I think it's something that we're living through as an organization and organizations such as ourselves on a daily basis. I think it's quite fluid across the region. So if I look at, say, I'm based here in Singapore, we have been work from home as default since the middle of March 2020. And only this month have we been allowed to bring back a percentage of people above 40% back to the office. We as IQEQ and organizations such as ourselves have gone towards a hybrid model of working from home. But if I compare ourselves to our offices in Hong Kong, where up onto this week, there were pretty much 80%, 90% of people in the office. And due to COVID and Omicron, that now has dropped down to practically zero. So I think across the region, we have been reacting slowly and at a slower pace than Europe and North America regarding the hybrid model. I think if we look at Europe, and Europe kind of already had a hybrid model. Like, I was based in Europe for up until September 2020. And we were, before COVID, we were working on a somewhat four-day in the office, 1 day at home week. Now I think that's closer to, we'll be closer to 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. North America, probably something similar. There's been more flexibility. And I think that's probably down to the infrastructure around internet, and just the culture of working from home is a lot more advanced in Europe and North America than it will be here in Asia Pacific region.
So, you know, when you talk about a hybrid situation, it sounds to me, I mean, is your expectation that it's going to be when certain people are in a couple of days a week, there's going to be other days of the week that other people are in. So basically, you're reducing the number of people in the office at any one time, which kind of in some ways defeats the purpose of being in an office, I would think. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. I hybrid is the future. I think if you have a staff of 100, you're never going to have 100 people in the office on a day-to-day basis. So, but the office space is not getting smaller, so it's still going to stay the same. So you got to use your space in different ways. So you hot desk, you have breakout rooms. The idea of beating the purpose about being in the office, I kind of disagree in certain industries. If I take my my training days, I trained as an auditor back in Ireland in the early noughties. And you need to be around senior people to learn. You need to be around your peers. You need to be judged. You need to be tracked. And that's difficult to do if you're working fully remotely. It's not impossible, but it's much easier to learn. It's much easier to be to learn by experience if you're on the ground with your training buddy. I think what the pandemic has moved us towards is kind of like a virtual office, but I don't think we'll ever get there, particularly in certain industries. I think if you look at all the legal firms, they were the ones that were pushing to get back people back to the office faster than, say, real estate investors or real estate asset managers. Real estate asset managers tended not to be in the office 5 days a week anyway. You know, they're out there, they're doing deals, they're looking at they're looking at portfolios, looking at assets, they're meeting investors. Where if you're a big four audit firm or a top tier legal firm, you want your staff to be around charging time. You kind of want to keep an eye on them a little bit as well. And it's a real difficult one to see where we will be in 5 years' time. But I do think the office, you're still going to need signature offices.
You know, you make the point that employers can no longer pile workers on top of each other. Now, when we talk about a hybrid situation like I was just describing, where you're really going to have far from 100% of the employees in the office, now you maybe are going to retain the same footprint, but you're going to have a lower density because you don't have as many employees in there. Is your expectation that, I mean, I would think that office investors would breathe a sigh of relief at that thought, because the last thing they want is for employers to start saying, you know, we only need 50% of the space we used to lease. So here we go. We're going to start just reducing. The expenditures go down. The amount of office space needed goes down. So basically, the employers are reducing. I mean, because for years, employers have been, at least in the United States and North America, they've been giving less and less space per employee. But they've been very savvy about it. They have office systems that make you feel comfortable in smaller environments and smaller cubicles or what have you, or workspaces. And then they've created more open areas or team areas. So as you look at that and you think in terms of this hybrid office, how do you think that all pans out? The kind of the push and pull of not needing as much office space, but at the same time wanting to make sure there's more square footage per employee, just because a lot of employers are still very squeamish about being around other people as long as the virus is out there and active.
Yeah, like I remember being in an office space in my career, and we had people piled on top of piles, and we had, you know, we probably had office space for 50 people, and we had 75, 80 people in the office on any given day. I think those days are definitely gone. I think if you look at, say, the tech companies in the US and across, like if you look at Amazon in Seattle, Amazon have, I think, north of 60 buildings, 60 office buildings across the Seattle area. They're not like looking to break the leases on them or come out of those buildings. They're just redesigning the office. And I suppose, like you said, like open space offices over the last 10 years, and again, I think in the tech, and I think tech has been the driver of this, and then we've moved other industries that have followed that, it have been built to keep employees there on it, like, so, you know, for 16-hour days. And that's by making them more comfortable. I think that will continue. If we look at our own office, and we're going to a redesign in our office here in Singapore, we're having more breakout rooms. We're having more common areas that people can go have calls on, go have stand-up meetings in. So they're not sitting in confined space, but they're sitting in or they're standing in corners or areas of the floor where they can socially distance, where they can feel comfortable, where they can go have their conference call. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. I think for investors, there will be some push to try and drive down rents. Because if I'm sitting in our shoes, of course I would like to drive down our rent, because I can dangle the idea that I'm going to reduce my capacity and reduce my floor space. But the reality is, as we grow into 2022 and into 2023, and as we come out the far side of this virus, people in certain locations will want to come back to the office. You know, we've seen consistently across our group where when we've had the chance to bring people in, they've rushed back to the office. They want that personal touch. They want to see people. They don't want to be in the office 5 days a week, but they do want to be in the office like 2-3 days a week, and they do want to see people, and they do want to be in the city, and they do want to do their, you know, grocery shopping on the way home, or get a break for their commute, or just socialize. And I think a lot of what we have to do, and the Ministry of Investors have to do, is create that environment where it's not just a working environment, it's also a social environment as well to feel comfortable in.
You know, and I want to get to in a moment the changes you think need to be made in the workplace. But before that, you bring up a point that I've never heard anybody bring up before. But you say in Asia, weather, the actual climate or the weather has a significant impact on this whole issue. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So if I sit where I am now, I'm sitting in an air conditioning room. It's 9:15 in the morning and it's 31 degrees outside and a humidity of 72%. So 30 degrees, like, so that's what 90, close to 90 in the US, US language for temperature. I'm lucky when I work from home, I have an air conditioning unit in my apartment. The majority of my staff don't have air conditioning. So the uncomfortable around working from home is that they have to sit in an environment which is slightly uncomfortable. They're sitting in rooms with like mobile fans, but not air conditioning, just blowing, just old fashioned fans that circle around. And this probably goes away from offices, but more into the condominiums and apartments and residential side of things. As those developments start picking up over the next 5 years, there will be more air conditioning units, but that's not great for the environment. So it's a real difficult one. But for us, we have seen that one driving forces for people wanting to come to the office is to be more comfortable working in the day-to-day, not to be in an environment where it's 30 degrees outside and it's like 70% humidity. And that's kind of where the weather affects us. In Hong Kong, it's slightly different because Hong Kong has got seasons. So in the summer, it's really warm outside, and people want to come into the office for the aircon. But in the winter, it's really cold. But the buildings, the residential buildings in Hong Kong are actually the walls are quite thin, so it doesn't keep the heat in. And therefore, you're cold in your apartment, and therefore you're going to want to come in. In Australia, it's slightly different, and in Tokyo, it's slightly different as well. Tokyo is the best size, and you don't have enough size. You don't have like any sort of living space in your house. Your residential is somewhere you sleep, not somewhere you work from.
So physically more comfortable in the office in terms of heating and cooling, and maybe emotionally more comfortable in the office, because you do make the point that the idea of working at home day after day can be bad for a person's mental health. Now, I do know that in the United States, and I dare say Europe, there's a culture of going to the cafe with your laptop and connecting to the internet. And that basically prevents a person from feeling that they're cloistered in their home at all times. Is there a similar culture in Asia? Is there that cafe culture or tea house culture in existence in Asia? Or is it different in that way?
It's different, but yet there is that culture. So I think the culture is probably built around meeting people. So you do have coffee shops here. I'm not talking about Starbucks. We do have Starbucks, and you do see expats and particularly tech people working from those coffee shops. And in Hong Kong, now that the government has kind of advised me to work from home, a lot of meetings are being held in the Starbucks of the world. But generally, you have local coffee shops which are predominantly like no internet, no comfort, but it's where locals go to meet, and it's where people go to meet to have their lunch. And you don't see people on their laptop, but you would see people on their phone checking their emails. So I think the culture of the laptop person in a coffee shop in the US is probably replaced by someone being constantly on their phone here in Asia. I have a little bit of, like, you know, my wife is American. I'm obviously European. We've lived both in North America and in Europe and now in Asia. So we have noticed a considerable difference between what we are used to in North America, Europe, where people, you know, you go to in London, you go to any coffee shop, someone's doing a conference call in a coffee shop, compared to here in Asia, where people are very reserved in their approach to business. They, you know, there's working time, and then there's also time to socialize, and that's where they go to the coffee shop for.
Interesting. Now, I should mention to our listeners, and it's in the program notes, but Neil wrote an article that appeared in the magazine in Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. It's called Rethinking the Workplace. If you put that in the search bar, just type Rethinking the Workplace, the article will come up, and you can read a more detailed take on this. Now, Neil, let's get to the office and what employers need to do. You talk about ESG, you talk about COVID, the whole environmental movement, that and that all of these things need to be addressed. So what are the things that you think companies need to focus on in the office space to bring employees back and meet their needs and their sensibilities?
I think now that we're in, hopefully, as I say this now, the end of the pandemic cycle, but we never know with this pandemic. I think people are, you know, we need to be, and we hit it earlier on in the recording, and we need to have more space between people. We can't have people just sitting on top of each other. You got to have people going to want to feel comfortable in the office. Breakout areas are key. And I don't mean just mean where you have your lunch. If you go get a sandwich and you want to have your lunch in the canteen, but it has to be, you know, areas that you can have team meetings in. You can't just bring 8 people into a 4x4 meeting room or 10x10 meeting room. It has to be more spread out. Offices need to be nice now. You know, if I go back to when I started working in the early noughties and over my career, offices were never really homely. They were definitely just places where you went to work and you came home. I think today's generations, the millennials, the Gen Zs, they don't want that anymore. They need somewhere where they need to feel comfortable. I think the tech companies have driven that. You know, and the old story of having bean bags, having like sleeping pods. Okay, they are nice, and people like to see them. But they're also built around people keeping people in the office on a long term basis, like over the course of a day. Like if you look at, say, Amazon, their model is for people to come into work, have their breakfast, have their lunch, have their dinner there, and work 16-hour days. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but that's the model that's being built across the industry over the last 10 years. I think what you need, is a hybrid model between that and what you've had before, where people do feel comfortable coming to the office. People do feel that the office is somewhere where they can be safe in. They're not going to get sick in. There's got to be proper air ventilation, regular cleaning sessions. If I look around our building, we have a mobile cleaning machine that goes around cleaning up after people on the floor on an hourly sweep in our common area. I think that's somewhere where we need to be looking as well to make people feel more safe and less in danger of getting sick, particularly in Asia Pacific, where people are more conscious of their health than they would be in Northern America or Europe.
So, you know, you mentioned ventilation, energy efficiency, plastic usage and recycling, green spaces, social experience. Let's say you've got a portfolio with class A minus space. What you're looking at is maybe having a non-competitive property or having to do some significant investment to upgrade. How prevalent in Asia and the around the continent is the presence of buildings that have simply become obsolete in the face of what we're seeing today with the urgency of environmental and ESG movements and with COVID-19?
Yeah, I think I don't think it's as prevalent as it would be, say, in New York or in Boston or in London or in Dublin or Luxembourg. But there is, as more buildings get built and more office spaces are getting built, I look across Singapore, where I am now, a lot more offices have been built even during the pandemic. And that has caused, you know, those offices that are being built are very specific towards a market having many space, having breakout areas, having proper ventilation. And they will replace the buildings that were built 10, 15 years ago. Reality is your buildings that in the Asia-Pacific region that were built 10, 15 years ago, unless they're upgraded with certain ESG models such as solar power, proper ventilation, they won't get leased out. So if you are not investing in the ESG or focusing on the ESG side of your portfolio, you're probably going to get left behind. You mightn't see it today, but when you go to try and exit your portfolio or you go try and renegotiate with your tenants, there might be a better option down the road for your tenants on a similar price range.
So if an investor was to ask you what's at stake for investors right now in Asia Pacific, what would your response be? What's bottom line there?
I would probably use New York as a good example. You know, New York, you know, they're trying to, the New York council or city are trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030. That's where the model is going. That's where investors are going. If you look at, say, ESG in real estate, it has been slow as an uptake, but now it's every PPM, every offering doc, every fund launch has an ESG element to it. My advice to building owners is to get yourself as much as ESG compliant as possible, reduce your greenhouse emission, go plastic free. Look at your, if you have vendors in your building, look at, say, how you can make them be more efficient as well, because that's a factor. If I look around to Asia Pacific, a lot of office buildings are linked with other office buildings, and there's walkways between office buildings, and they have vendors like smoothie stores, 7-Elevens, coffee shops. They're all using paper cups or plastic cups. From a consumer point of view, we're trying to cut down plastic, and we're trying to cut down the use of, move towards a more environmentally friendly products. How do you move your tenants towards that as well? And that's where, you know, you got to put that into your lease contract that they move towards a plastic-free process if possible.
Our guest has been Neil Sinnott. He's head of client services Asia Pacific at IQEQ. He's based in Singapore. And again, he wrote a recent column in Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. The headline is Rethinking the Workplace. Just put that in the search bar on the IREI website and the story will come up. Neil, thank you for taking the time and best of luck.
No problem. Thanks very much, Mike, for having me. And thank you very much to everybody for listening.
This podcast was sponsored by AppFolio.